Live from the Oxygen Community Studios, we are the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, hanging out with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Quick NBA note, Suns fans will chuckle about this. Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle said today, Dennis Smith Jr. is still sick and not available tonight.
Man, that's what's he got?
Now, that didn't stop Smith, apparently, from tweeting this afternoon about meeting a fan while he was out for lunch.
So apparently he's not that sick.
Apparently he's well enough to go out for lunch.
Hopefully he's having some soup. A little soup to make you feel better. A little soup.
But he's still sick and he won't play tonight.
Yeah. He's sick. He's not going to play.
I love it.
They must have thought that they had a trade worked out. Or thought it was really close. And I wonder if they've sent him home. I wonder if this is an Eric Bledsoe situation. Go home until we trade you.
Maybe.
I mean, it might be.
Is Dennis Smith Jr. at a hair salon? Anybody?
No, he was at lunch.
Maybe the lunch was before the hair salon.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the hair salon, lunch, or it's some order like that. I don't know. The Arizona Cardinals' search for an offensive coordinator goes on. Yesterday, Gambo and I talked a lot about how, in some ways, it doesn't matter because the offensive line coach has already been hired that was more important. The running backs coach has already been hired that was obviously more important than hiring an OC. And any
it's
OC
hard to say that, but it's true.
The hires
that they've made have been more important. The offensive coordinators, it's not like it's not important. It is, but it's not as important as some of the other hires they've made.
It might be hard to say, but it's easy to see. I mean, it's easy to...
That's a good way to put it. It's easy to see.
Their actions speak louder than their... And if you're an OC coming in here, and I don't know for a fact that this is what happened with John DeFilippo, who, as Sarah mentioned a second ago, took the Jacksonville job. I don't know for a fact. This is just me speculating, so don't take this as fact. This is just my best guess. My best guess is that John DeFilippo walked into that interview and went, oh, wait a minute, you've already got an O-line coach? You've already got a running backs coach.
I can't even put together an offensive staff.
Well, what exactly do you want me to do? I mean, what exactly is my job? And he might have walked out of that interview saying, this is not the job I want.
Right.
I can do better than this job.
And he got that in Jacksonville. I mean, DeFilippo is now the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. There's a chance that Jim Bob Cooter could end up somewhere else. They're not interested in Sarkisian. There are guys, I think, that there are teams that are playing that I believe they could reach out to, one or two of the coaches that are on these staffs. I'm looking at two possibilities right now that they could reach out to some guys and maybe just look for an interview and see if it works. They might not be able to get the grizzled old veteran offensive coordinator that's used to calling plays to come here and not call plays. That might be a harder get for them. This might be like the defensive coordinator. No problem. You're running a defense. What do you want to run?
Right.
You're running a defense. You can help pick your own staff, right? I mean, Vance Joseph came in and next thing we know, they're hiring a guy that was in the Denver secondary and they're bringing in so he gets to actually have a say in who some of his staff is on that defense. The offensive coordinator is coming in. You've already hired a running backs coach. You've already hired an offensive line coach. I'm not calling the plays. What am I doing?
Yeah.
What's my role exactly?
And because of that, the logical conclusion to be reached here is that the Cardinals might not get the best guy for the job. They'll get a guy for
They'll
the job.
They'll get a guy.
But they might not get the best guys for this job. Might not want this job based off of all the circumstances that we just painted out. And if that's the case, then so be it. That's life. But the Cardinals have kind of put themselves in this position where frankly, they shouldn't be surprised that maybe people are walking away. Now, I don't think Sark walked away from the job. I know nationally that was the report, but I trust your reporting on that one, that he was never offered the job.
No.
But DeFilippo, we spoke yesterday. He was a guy they wanted. They wanted John DeFilippo to be their offensive coordinator, and he's in Jacksonville now. They might not have the choice of the very best for this gig when it comes to OC because of all the limitations. You mentioned a couple of names that we should look out for. Who are those guys?
You know, there are two guys I'm looking at as possibilities, that are on teams that are playing right now. Because I do think that's a direction that we're not really looking at, and I think is one that they should go in. Joe Lombardi is the quarterbacks coach for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, the guy from those commercials.
Yeah, the guy from the commercials. He's the quarterbacks coach. He's the quarterbacks coach, but he's got coordinator experience. Okay, been in the league for a while. He's got coordinator experience. Could be a possibility for them. But the guy I like, the guy I'm going to focus on a little bit more, is Mike Kafka. Mike Kafka is 31 years old. He's the quarterback's coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's working with Patrick Mahomes. He's been under Andy Reid for 2 years now. He's a former player in this league, a former quarterback that, you know, didn't get a lot of time to play, but he bounced around. He hung around the league with a bunch of different teams for a number of years. He's a very bright guy. Went to Northwestern, played quarterback for them. And again, as a quarterback coach for Patrick Mahomes, could be, now he's young, he's 31, so it's not like you're getting this grizzled, veteran, experienced guy that Kingsbury could bounce ideas off of. It's that wouldn't be the bench coach that you would want, because right. He's 31, he's never been a coordinator, but he does have playing experience, and he has been the quarterback's coach under Andy Reid this year, and he's been with Andy Reid for 2 years and worked with Mahomes, and so Mike Kafka could be a guy that they reach out to and maybe interview and talk to. So I do think there are teams that are playing right now that they could look to some of their staff to see if it's a possibility.
There's another name that came up today for the OC job, and that was Tom Clements, who's been out of football for the last couple of years. He has one heck of a resume, and you talk about the grizzled old veteran. Tom Clements has that in spades.
He does.
He's been around this league a long, long time, 11 years. He's been with the Saints, Chiefs, Steelers, and Bills. I think most football fans will recognize him as spending 11 years with the Green Bay Packers, worked with both Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. He was a quarterback's coach. He was an assistant head coach. He was an offensive coordinator. Been out of the league the last couple of years. Hasn't coached much. He's also a guy that even if they go a different direction at offensive coordinator, let's say a Mike Kafka type, you could still bring on Clements, and it's been suggested they could still bring on Clements in some sort of senior advisory type
role. The way
role.
Tom Moore was available for Bruce Arians, just a guy that's been around the league for a long time. You can have you could have a young staff if you do hire Kafka and you do have Cliff, and maybe have an older veteran guy that could sit there in those rooms and just be able to help these guys, guide them through some situations and things like that. So. Because this could be new for a few guys. Now, you do have experience with the running backs coach, Saxon, but I do think that maybe a guy like that would be good to have. That way you could pick his brain because he's been in this league for a long time.
Mark Schlereth was on Bickley and Murata today, the NFL insider, and our good friend from up there in Denver. He was asked, what exactly does an offensive coordinator do who isn't responsible for calling plays?
As a coordinator, you'd much rather have the play calling duties. Mm-hmm. You're still going to be one of those guys that's going to be in charge of game planning and putting things in, installation of the game plan, helping put the game plan together.
And they asked him point blank, how attractive is this Cardinals OC job anyway?
I mean, let's face it, you have success as an offense. If you're a young coordinator, you're with a young coach, I mean, that's what people covet right now. So, you know, from an attractiveness standpoint, I think that part's attractive. I think if you looked at the roster right now, that might make you take a step back a little bit and go, man, I hope I get another opportunity instead of just this one opportunity. But there's only 32 offensive coordinators in the National Football League. So if you get that opportunity, you have nowhere else to go. Obviously, you're going to take it.
If you've got nowhere else to go. Right.
I mean, that was the key thing. If you've got nowhere else to go.
DeFilippo had somewhere else to go.
Yeah. And they have the seventh pick in the draft, and they could get a quarterback there, or maybe they get Nick Foles. You've got Leonard Fournette. I mean, he's familiar with Tom Coughlin. I mean, it was just a better thing. Stump Mitchell. I mean, it was, you know, Stump Mitchell ended up with Freddie Kitchens. They're not, you know, listen, you're not going to get every single coach you want. You're not. They've nailed, so they wanted Kugler bad. They got him. They wanted Vance Joseph bad. They got him. They wanted Stump Mitchell. They didn't get him. They wanted DeFilippo. They didn't get him. Not going to get every single one. Yeah. We're not going to sugarcoat this and tell you the Cardinals got every single guy that they wanted. No, that's not the case. There's a couple coaches that they wanted they haven't been able to get. They're still putting together a good staff. They are. They're putting together a good staff.
It's too bad. If they had gotten DeFilippo,
you would have been very happy.
I would have felt they had a really good staff. I would have been really happy with that. Sort of.
Well, who do you want now? You got any
no,
ideas?
No, I was kind of putting my eggs in the DeFilippo basket, to be honest with you. At this point, I can't say I have an idea that I. And the reason I liked DeFilippo the most was, as we spoke yesterday with the ESPN reporter who covers the Vikings, she said he is great with the quarterbacks. That is, it's his passion. It's what he's great at. It's what he's been good at his entire career in the NFL. I was really looking forward to getting him and Kingsbury in a room working on Josh Rosen. And so in the absence of that, I don't know if I have a favorite. Do you have a guy that you are hoping gets the job, wishing to get the job?
You go with the young up-and-comer. You could go with the Kafka. If you want to go with the guy that has head coaching experience, you know, and has been a coordinator, you could go with McAdoo. I mean, nobody signed McAdoo yet, so right. I'm sure he's still, you know, waiting in the wings. I don't know if he's going to get the job. I just don't know that there is a lot out there to really get excited about at this point.
Now, tomorrow, Gambo and I are going to be hanging out live at the 48th annual Barrett Jackson Collector Car Auction at Westworld of Scottsdale. Always a big deal. You can check out more than 1,700 rare and exotic cars up for auction. Eat and drink from the 40-plus vendors on site and a whole lot more than that. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for details and info on tickets. Analysts have been falling over each other to say why Cliff Kingsbury won't work with the Cardinals. Now, one national NFL guy is explaining why he thinks it's going to work. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You must learn.
It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
Jake Glazer, longtime Fox Sports guy, writer now for The Athletic, one of the premier voices of the NFL, faces of the NFL. You see him on the Fox pregame show. He's been around a long, long time. I don't want to make it sound like he's the only one, all right? But I can't think of too many others, nationally anyway, who have come out and said, I think Cliff Kingsbury is a great idea. I think it's going to work. I think it's awesome. I think it's a brilliant hire by the Arizona Cardinals. There hasn't been a lot of that. It's been more along the lines of, boy, this is risky. I don't know if this is going to work. I'm not really sure what the Bidwells are doing. I'm not really sure what the Cardinals are doing with this one. It's been a lot more that than it has this is going to work.
Absolutely.
But Jake,
I mean, because it's easier.
Yeah,
it's easier to say this isn't going to work. Because like you said earlier, there's a track record and a history that shows that the last guy that successfully, you know, did this was Jimmy Johnson. That was a long time ago.
Yes.
There's been a lot of failures. Nick Saban tried it, didn't work. Steve Spurrier tried it, didn't work. We've seen guys try it and fail. So it's easy to just, yeah, it's probably not going to work.
Play the odds. Just like,
okay,
in some ways.
Herm Edwards?
Just like we were playing the odds with Herm Edwards a year ago.
Yeah, agree.
Where we looked at it and went, are you kidding me? A guy who hasn't coached college football in 30 years?
How's he going to come in here and have success?
A guy who hasn't coached the game in 10 years is just going to come in here and do something that he hasn't done in three decades? No, and you play the odds by saying you don't think it's going to work, and then you're proven wrong. Here is what Glazer said. He was doing a mailbag on theathletic.com. Got a question from Robert who said, Jay, I'm a Red Raider. I love Cliff Kingsbury, but I think he set himself up to fail with Arizona. Jay responded, I'm not in agreement, Robert. I thought Cliff was better suited for the NFL than college. I personally think he will motivate NFL players better than he was able to motivate college players. I think he'll bring in some innovative things there as well. Josh Rosen has talent. He's probably the most gifted quarterback who came out of last year's draft, but there were so many other things surrounding him that didn't allow him to make that jump in his rookie season. If Josh can flourish with the schemes and game plans that Cliff will come up with, the Cardinals will be a fun team to watch.
That's a good sign right there. You've got Jay Glazer thinking that they could have an innovative, you know, create an offense that could. And I said this earlier, I mean, give defensive coordinator fits. How do you prepare for this offense? How do you prepare for this spread? How do you prepare for what Cliff Kingsbury's doing? I mean, he might create, and I'm not saying that he's going to be this trailblazer and he's going to, you know, revolutionize coaching in the National Football League, but I am expecting him to put in an offense and implement an offense that is going to move the ball down the field and be exciting and be a difficult matchup for the defensive coordinators, be something they've got to think about. Now, you need talent, clearly.
Sure.
You know, you've got to have the wide receivers. You've got to have an offensive line. He's got to develop Rosen. David Johnson has to get back to being the guy he was a couple of years ago. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that have to, you know, he could be a great mind and have these great schemes, but if you don't have the talent, it's not going to work. So there are a lot of things that have to be put in place in order for Cliff to be successful, but I do think that that's what we're hoping for, a very innovative coach.
The negative comments, we've all heard them in the last couple of days on this radio station alone. This morning, Steve Wyche from the NFL Network said it's a big wait-and-see kind of hire.
I've drawn the biggest question marks
because people are just kind of wondering why now this and that. People know the offensive acumen. They know it's an offensive league. We heard Michael Bidwell talk about it, and they're hoping to get this offense going. But are you hiring an offensive coordinator and giving him a head coaching title?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you hiring somebody who can really control the environment?
Which is exactly what Trey Wingo said yesterday on Bickley and Marotta from ESPN.
If you listen to what Michael Bidwell said about the hiring of Cliff Kingsbury, it sounded to me like he was hiring a quarterback coach or an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
It didn't sound to me like he was hiring a head coach.
Yeah.
He wanted him to coach up this quarterback. Well, there are 52 other guys on the roster, and that has to be a part of the equation as well.
And, of course, just for fun, we have Stephen A. Smith on the whole thing.
Oh, this dude Kingsbury that just got hired by the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, my goodness. John, JC, did I miss something? Was Kingsbury's team the one that won the national championship this Monday instead of Dabo Sweeney? Was that his team? Am I missing something? I don't understand. Is there something that I have missed here? Is there something that I have failed to comprehend? Is this guy some golden boy that I missed? Was this guy the hot ticket that everybody should be clamoring for?
Thank you, Jake Laser. Thank you. On behalf of the Burns and Gambo show, we thank you.
I mean, listen,
for
it's one of the things
bit
of the things that I said about Cliff Kingsbury. He's not a top 25 coach in college football. He might not be a top 50 coach in college football.
Right.
He's not Nick Saban. He's not Dabo Sweeney. He's not any of these guys that have had this. He's not Lincoln Riley. Okay, Cardinals hire Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma coach. Okay.
We're losing our minds right now.
Most people are going to be like, okay, this can work. This can work. Look what he did with Oklahoma. This can work.
Right.
Cliff Kingsbury had a losing record at Texas Tech. He got fired. So Lincoln Riley, if you were hiring a guy from a top four program that they didn't want to lose him and you hired him away, mm-hmm. totally different from hiring a guy that got fired at Texas Tech because they weren't winning.
No doubt. No doubt it changes everything. It absolutely changes everything. And so that's the Cardinals will have to figure out a way to make it work. But what I liked about what Chase said specifically was that he made it just as much about Josh Rosen as he did about Cliff Kingsbury, because you talked about it a second ago. It's the talent you have still matters. Well, that conversation begins with Josh Rosen, and whether and if there's one guy that you want to try to get the very best out of Josh Rosen, Cliff Kingsbury is a very good guy to do it. Now, to Trey Wingo's point, there are 52 other guys on the roster that you have to coach and develop and teach and lead and all that stuff. But if you can't get the best out of Josh Rosen, then I don't want to say what's the point, but kind of what's the point? Because if it's not going to happen for Josh Rosen, it's not going to happen for anybody else. It has to happen with Josh Rosen for you to even give your team a chance to develop the other guys and win football games.
Listen, I'm not saying that this is Tom Brady, but I'm telling you, watching that Patriots game the other day, I mean, it was one thing that was just so obvious to me. Josh McDaniel's play calling in the system, those guys were wide open. They were wide open. If Josh Rosen was the quarterback of the Patriots in that football game, he would have had a great game. Dorsett's wide open. Edelman's wide open. I almost couldn't believe how wide open every single player was. And I know Josh McDaniel's not getting a head coaching job this year, and he blew it with Indianapolis last year. He went back to New England, called a hell of a game. Whatever they're doing, guys are wide open. Tom Brady's not the only guy that could have led New England to a gigantic win last week, you know, against the Chargers. Josh Rosen would have led them to a win. Two guys are wide open. So I think a lot of it is developing him, but having good schemes and good systems and good players and, you know, guys that are going to catch the ball and not drop it. I mean, Rosen had a lot of drops on him this year.
Sure.
Having a good offensive line is going to give you protection. But having Jay Glazer come out and say those things, you know, gives you a little bit of encouragement that there are people out there that believe that this could work for the Arizona Cardinals.
He is the biggest name on the NFL trade block. Everybody from analysts to Bruce Arians to former teammates have been calling him out today. Antonio Brown responded. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, let's not bury the lead on this Antonio Brown thing.
All right.
Oftentimes, Gambo's process of elimination style of reporting simply is basically like drawing a black line through a guy's name. Say, nope, not him. They don't want him. You did that with Dennis Smith Jr. over the weekend.
Yeah.
Or not over the weekend, but a couple days ago.
Yeah, we do this with a lot of players. Yeah, are they interested in this player? And I can find out whether they're interested or not. And if they're not, I can tell you they're not interested.
And you found out the Suns were not interested in Dennis Smith Jr. Yes. So we kind of took a black Sharpie out and drew a line right through his name and said, nope, he's not coming here. I know what Woj is reporting. I know what others are reporting. He's not coming here. And since then, that report got backed up from a Dallas newspaper and AZ Central. So, okay, no Dennis Smith here. On the Antonio Brown front, I've got the pen out. The cap is off.
Yeah, put the cap back on.
And I'm ready to draw a line through Antonio Brown's name.
I can't tell you that they're not interested. Part of me wishes I could, but he's such a good player. I can't. Listen, this doesn't mean he's coming here, but can I tell you that the Cardinals have no interest in Antonio Brown? No, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that. You got to think about it. You don't have a lot of talent in the wide receiver room. He's one of the premier wide receivers, one of the best in the game. He's a diva. He's a problem. But he's got 3 years left at a reasonable rate. A reasonable amount of money for 3 years and $39 million. He's one of the best at his position, and he's available via trade. Am I going to tell you the Cardinals have no interest in him? No, I can't tell you that. So I'm sure that they will look at it. What's the cost? Well, they don't know. What is the cost from Pittsburgh? What are people willing to give up for him? Chances of them getting him? I wouldn't say that it's 50-50 or better. I would say it's less than that. Because obviously San Francisco, Seattle, Indianapolis, there's a lot of teams that are going to want a player of that caliber who's at 30 years old, still has probably 3 really good years left. Now, got to remember, this is a guy that gets 100 catches every year. Now, this is the cream of the crop right here.
Sure.
You get Antonio Brown. I'm Josh Rosen. I've got a premier wide receiver to throw to. I'm Cliff Kingsbury. I've got a number one wide receiver, one of the best in the game to go to battle with. So yeah, no, I cannot tell you that the Cardinals are not interested because they will look at it and see what the possibilities are to Adam.
His numbers are extraordinary. And they are. If you go back to 2013, here's his receptions by year: 110, 129, 136. 106, 101, 104.
That's ridiculous.
Here's his yards by year since 2013. 1499, 1698, 1834, 1284, 1533, 1297. Touchdowns by year since 2013. 8, 13, 10, 12, 9, 15. You get the point. He's extraordinary.
Superstar.
He's an extraordinary football star. And I'm glad to hear the Cardinals aren't ruling him out.
No, they'll look at it.
It's a very complicated issue.
Very. Because of who he is.
And what it's going to cost to get him.
Because of his personality. Because if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm going to give somebody a premier wide receiver. I want something of substance back for him.
No doubt.
I'm not just going to settle for a fifth round pick to get rid of him. I need something good. He's got 3 years left on his contract at a reasonable rate. I'm going to want something back. The question is, what are they going to get, and what are teams willing to pay?
Yeah, I'm looking at his contract right now. The thing about the money, and the reason why I've said
the cap hit,
the cap hit is not the dead cap hit. Once you get past the first year, the dead cap money goes down to $14 million in 2020, only $7 million in 2021.
Okay.
Because most of the guaranteed money has already been paid to him.
Right.
So you're kind of going on a year-to-year basis with him anyway. Now, he's going to chew up a lot of your space, obviously, and you don't have a ton of it. But there are some who could believe, all right, if I'm going to use the Chicago Bears example, okay? Couple things happened to the Chicago Bears this offseason that allowed them to make the leap from what they were to what they are. Number one, they fired their defensive-minded head coach and they hired an offensive-minded head coach. Number two, Mitchell Trubisky took a leap from year one to year two.
And a trade.
And they added a premier player in Khalil Mack. And it just changed everything
via
for them.
Via trade.
Now, is Antonio Brown the Cardinals' Khalil Mack? Could he be their Khalil Mack? Could he complete the trifecta of three things that need to happen for the Cardinals to be the 2019 version of the Chicago Bears?
There's another trade that happened that wasn't Khalil Mack that made a big difference on a team winning a division and getting to the playoffs, and that was Dallas getting Amari Cooper.
No question.
getting a top wide receiver like that. Like, they went 8-2, you know, with 8-3 if you count the loss with Amari Cooper. And Dallas was able to make that trade, and it really catapulted them to win the division and then, to get to the playoffs.
And Antonio Brown is 3 to 5 times the player that Amari Cooper is.
It's not debatable. Antonio Brown is one of the best weapons in the entire National Football League. I mean, how many guys catch 100 passes a year?
Not many.
Now, he's be going from Ben Roethlisberger to Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd also be going from cold weather to warm weather.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be playing inside a dome. I mean, he wouldn't have to play in Cleveland in the cold, or in Cincinnati in the cold, or in Baltimore in the cold. I mean, there's certain advantages and there's certain disadvantages. The biggest disadvantage is you're going from Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, the money doesn't bother me. The man does. And I don't know if the Cardinals locker room and coaching staff, the way it's currently constructed, can handle Antonio Brown. That would be my, if I were the Cardinals front office, that would be my biggest concern.
Young rookie coach trying to handle a major diva wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. Major diva
who didn't even play in the last game of the season last year.
Nope. Whose agent called one of the most respected and established head coaches in our game the day of the game and said, my guy's good. I know he hasn't been around the last few days, but he'll be there ready to play for you today. And Mike Tomlin said, he ain't playing for me today.
Just trying to save his paycheck.
Yeah, he ain't playing for me today. That's not how it works around here. You don't just call me the day of the game. I've been trying to reach him for the last 48 hours.
He hasn't called back.
He hasn't called back. You don't just, you as his agent, you can't just call me the day of the game and say he's going to show up and he's going to play. Bruce Arians today made some headlines. The former coach of the Cardinals, of course, former OC of the Pittsburgh Steelers, when he used the D word. No, the other one.
The D word.
When describing Antonio Brown.
From afar, it's just too much miscommunication, too much diva. You know, I just don't. I've heard so many stories, and I like Antonio. He plays as hard as anybody on Sunday, and he practices hard. They just got to make better decisions off the field, be on time, do some of those little things.
Antonio Brown fired back on his Twitter account. Quote, he didn't draft me. He drafted Sanders, Emmanuel Sanders, the same guy who missed rehab to go on networks to talk about me on a situation he has zero clue. Arians now wears Kangol hats and glasses, but I'm a diva? Done seen it all. Then they say we're friends. Stop lying. He also got a response from Emmanuel Sanders because he called out B.A. and Sanders in that tweet.
Right.
And Sanders responded to Brown, and this is what got everybody laughing the last time I did this. And this is just a quote. Quote, you know damn well I didn't travel to L.A. to talk on NFL Network about you, fam. You tripping, yo. I went to be an analyst in which you acting foolish was the topic, and I gave my analytical opinion. Get off the gas, yo. You did it to yourself.
He's right.
He is right. He's right. He's doing this to himself.
Yeah. I mean, you're a diva wide receiver. You didn't get to play in the last game. You got a great situation in Pittsburgh. I mean, you're not happy. I mean, it paid you a lot of money. You know, you've had success there. You've got a Super Bowl ring. Like, like a lot of things have gone right for Antonio Brown. Like, to not, you know, to sit there and blame other people for your actions is kind of crazy. Now, you know, there is a little bit of a fraternity here, and Emmanuel Sanders, he was putting on his, I'm being an analyst here. Let me give you my opinion.
Yep.
Bruce Arians, I'm giving you my opinion. But Bruce has said, I heard a lot of stories. So people are giving their opinion on this guy. Now, whether they should do that or not, I mean, it's up to them. I mean, they're just being honest. You know, they're being asked about a player, and they're being honest. Hey, I've heard Lorenzo Alexander. Congratulations to Lorenzo. Another year contract.
Amen,
I mean,
to that,
like,
brother.
He,
yeah, amen.
Keeps going and going and going. And I've heard Lorenzo Alexander talk about players, and, you know, he will say it like it is. He will tell you about situations with guys on that team and guys that – so players will speak their minds. Antonio Brown is a problem. If you're bringing him to your team, no matter what team it is, you're going to have concerns about how he fits in. Are you going to be a distraction? Are you going to be a problem? Are you going to disrupt what we're trying to do? And then you've got to decide, is it worth it or not?
Right.
Because if he is going to be a problem, is the 100 catches worth the headaches he may bring? For some teams, it might be.
Yeah. Well, you were gone on vacation. The story that broke about Antonio Brown when he sat that game out, there were some reports that the reason why that he might have sat that game out, the team had a team MVP vote, and they did it the game after he like played out of his mind against the Saints. He had like 16 catches and 100 and something yards and a couple of touchdowns, and he didn't get it. Juju Smith-Schuster did. He didn't get the vote. Juju did. There are some who believe the reason why he staged this one-week protest was because he was pissed his teammates didn't vote him team MVP and gave it to Juju instead. That was the big reports, and if that's the case, if that's how diva-ish he has become, that he won't even show for work because your teammates voted the other guy MVP and not you?
Players are selfish. There are guys that are selfish. Me. It's about me.
Yep.
It's not about the team. You got to question whether you want that guy on your team or not.
The Arizona Cardinals, as we've been talking about, a lot of cap space this offseason. How are they going to use it? Offensive line, cornerback, wide receiver. We'll look at the top free agents, and do they fit here? Next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Maybe $70 million when it's all said and done to spend on free agency. Gambo said it very well earlier. The Cardinals, we're not accustomed to them having that much of a credit limit on the card when they go to the store, right? We're not used to, you know,
them being able to shop at that store.
Yeah, that's a
different store to shop at.
It's a different card that they're used to having. They're not used to having that card at the store. So how they spend it in this of all years when they have so many needs, so many things they'd like to fill, offensive line, wide receiver, a second cornerback opposite Patrick Peterson. It's going to be when free agency opens. Look, we mentioned this earlier, and not earlier today, but earlier a couple weeks ago. The Cardinals have been extremely aggressive this offseason, have they not?
Yes.
Extremely.
Yes.
In getting Cliff Kingsbury, in getting Vance Joseph, in the offensive line coach. They're not messing around. I mean, they were arguably the first team to make a hire in the coaching cycle, first, second, depending on your point of view. They went hard after Vance Joseph. They got him. There was a competitive market for him. Will that aggressiveness translate to free agency when it opens up in mid-March?
Yeah. I mean, I think they have to. I mean, you have the worst record in the NFL. You won three football games. You won three football games.
Right.
Like, you have holes everywhere. You need a left tackle. I mean, a left guard. You need a right tackle. You need wide receivers. You need a cornerback. And you're not going to do it all in the draft. I mean, you're not going to do it in the draft. You're hoping in the draft you get a few players that can help, but they're going to have to fill these needs with free agency. And I mean, I know you mentioned earlier that Doug and Wolf were talking about, and they had a poll this morning. What are you more excited about? Is it the draft or free agency? And it's a great question. And typically, normally in previous years, I would always say the draft, because they didn't have a lot of money to spend on free agency. But now it's like you're giving them the American Express Black Card, and you're saying, go shopping.
Yep.
I'm excited about going shopping, because now it's not the way you want to build your team. It's not. You want to build through the draft. You want to look at this team years from now and you want to say, Josh Rosen panned out. Christian Kirk panned out. David Johnson panned out. And you want to be able to hit on all of the Mason Cole panned out. You want to look at your drafts and say, I got a bunch of guys that are the foundation of this team that came from the draft. But man, when you got a 3-13 team and you got to plug holes, it's a good way to plug holes.
So ESPN today released their top 50 NFL free agents for the upcoming offseason. Now keep in mind, a lot of these guys are never going to see the light of day when it comes to free agency. They'll get re-signed, they'll get tagged, they'll get this, they'll get that, they won't be available. But at the top of the list is DeMarcus Lawrence, the defensive end from Dallas, followed by Le'Veon Bell, then Dee Ford from Kansas City, Jadeveon Clowney from Texans, and Frank Clark, the defensive end from Seattle. That rounds out the top five. I went through the process of highlighting names of offensive linemen, wide receivers, and just general names of interest as it relates to the Cardinals. Trent Brown, first offensive lineman on the board, considered the seventh best free agent this year by ESPN. Started all 16 games at left tackle for the New England Patriots, 6'8", 380, formidable obstacle for opposing pass rushers, and he's only 26 years of age.
Yeah, he's young, which kind of fits into the thinking that, hey, if you get him, you know, you might be able to have him there for a while. I mean, he's a left tackle. You could play him at right tackle, and then if DJ Humphries doesn't come back the following year, you could move him to left tackle. It makes a lot of sense to go get him. His age, his success, the system he played at, and the fact that you could play him at right tackle, then move him to left.
Tyrann Mathieu listed as the 13th best free agent.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I like Tyrann. He's not coming back here.
No. And I'm not suggesting that he does. Like I said, offensive linemen, wide receivers, and just names of general interest.
Right.
Matthew's a name of general interest. I don't think he's coming back here. I wouldn't suggest that. Donovan Smith, left tackle, offensive tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's number 19. He's also 26 years of age. Tyrell Williams, wide receiver, L.A. Chargers, is the first receiver on the board. He checks in at number 20 on ESPN.
I think this is a guy, out of all the wide receivers you're going to mention, to me, this is the guy that I think you want to go after. He's 6'4", so he's got good size. His number. Now, you're not going to get a great wide receiver in this group, but all of these wide receivers that you're going to mention are guys that are a major upgrade over what they have. But this is a guy that has had a 1,000-yard receiving season. He has had one back in 2016. His numbers the last couple of years haven't been great, but they've got Keenan Allen there. But it does make sense to me that this is a guy, because he does give you some size, and they need size.
Checking in at number 21, the offensive tackle for the Dolphins. 27 years of age, Juwan James. Scrolling down, the next wide receiver on the list checks in at number 27, Devin Funchess.
I like him
Carolina.
In college at Michigan, but I have not liked him as a pro.
Okay. Mark Glowinski, the guard from
the
Colts.
Need. I mean, they need a guard bad. It makes a Colts offensive line was fantastic. Their quarterbacks got sacked the least in the NFL. They had a very good offensive line, which makes it, that should be a guard they should look at.
He checks in at number 31. John Brown, wide receiver, Ravens, checks in at number 33. Darrell Williams, tackle for the Carolina Panthers, who was hurt for most of the year, checks in at number 34. That is a high-risk, high-reward type signing, and the Cardinals have spent a lot of money on injured players and injured offensive linemen.
Can't go after injured players. They just can't.
Adam Humphries, wide receiver for the Bucs at number 35.
I do love him as a player. I mean, I really do love him as a player, but they've got a slot receiver. They've got a small slot receiver, not a guy that they need.
Golden Tate, wide receiver, Eagles, number 36.
Yeah, I love him, but again, I think they need bigger wide receivers.
Deion Buchanan from the Cardinals at number 39.
I hope they keep him.
Just looking at their own, speaking of their own, Marcus Golden at number 47. And rounding out the list,
they keep him too.
Wide receiver Dante Moncrief. He is the 48th best player available in free agency.
It's okay. I mean, he's a wide receiver. It's hard to say we don't like a wide receiver when all these wide receivers are, for the most part, better than what you have.
I know.
And they need an upgrade at that position.
That's well said. It's hard to say, I'll pass on that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that guy.
Better than what you got.
Yeah, of course, a lot better than what they have.
Yep.
The wide receivers were terrible this year.
All right, so we're out of here on this Wednesday edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Tomorrow, we're live from Barrett-Jackson. We look forward to seeing you out there. If you're stopping by, come by and say hi for our broadcast location. Spencer Keatsman is up next with a rundown here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Have a good night, everyone.